Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 504. If you'd like to have a copy of it, at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you how. Please specify whether you'd like to have an audio tape or a CD. They're both free of charge, including the postage and handling. The Lord gave me salvation free, and therefore I will not charge for it. That's the only reason I do not charge, is because the gospel is to come to you free of charge. People do, however, have to give tithes and offerings. If you decide that you don't want to give tithes and offerings to this ministry that feeds you the truth, well then, you know, let you face God with that, and that's none of my business whatsoever. We're free moral agents, and we can do what the Lord wants us to do if we want to, and there's no condemnation to me for telling you this. Now, I have some Bible reading, I have some letters, got music, and a powerful message of expounding on the Word of God. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint the program, anoint me, Father, anoint everyone on the program, anoint me to bring about the love of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most people in this world, Father, consider that love is things that we lust after, but of course, that's the exact opposite of the meaning of your version of the meaning of what love is. Love, according to you, Father, Lord Jesus, is to keep God's commandments. And they're not grievous, they're not hard to keep. So I pray, Lord, that the true teaching of the English language, according to you, the one who made heaven and earth, who made this earth and the fullness of the earth, everything that exists, and you made everything out of things that we cannot see. It's atoms and molecules. And therefore, the spiritual realm is far more powerful than the carnal world, the world that we can see. So faith is something that we cannot see, but it's a definite substance because we can see faith in others because they keep your commandments. And we can tell the ones that really love, they are the ones that keep your commandments. They are the ones that are unafraid. They're unashamed of your gospel, and they're unafraid to preach it. And Lord, let me have that faith and the fear of you that I will preach the word so that souls can be saved, because there isn't any fictitious gospel that can save a soul. It must be the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came preaching the kingdom of heaven. He tells us in his word that he came preaching the kingdom of heaven. And everyone that is true to the word of God, in other words, that is true to Jesus, for he is the word of God, will preach the kingdom of heaven. And they will not be ashamed of any scripture that is in the Bible, because it is your word and it is your will, Father. And so many people just think that some of the things that you allow people to do are very nasty. And these are, Lord, you said, seducing spirits in these last days. Evil seducing spirits that plotting to destroy every human soul that he can. This is the devil. And Lord, we ask that you rebuke the devil in this service and build a wall of fire around and about us, and that you open up every soul, every mind, every spirit in Radio Land, that they will receive and impress everyone, Lord, to turn on the radio. Everyone that you want to turn on the radio and listen to this program of mine, which is yours, really, that they can be impressed with your word, and that they can receive your word, which is Christ, into them, so that their souls can be converted from a dead spiritual soul that's on its way to hell to a soul that spirit is given life, your life, We have temporal life, but we need to have your eternal life. And when your spirit mingles with ours, then we have eternal life and we are bound for heaven. Lord, I ask that you bless everyone by opening them up to receive your word. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, one of my very favorite singers in this whole world is Fig Spreeman. And he's going to sing for you right now, Joshua Fit the Battle.
Battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down. You may talk about your king of Gideon, you may talk about a man of Saul. There's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down. Right up to the walls of Jericho he marched, with spear in hand. Those ram horn Joshua cried, 'Tis a battle lamb in my hand. Then the lamb ram sheep horn begin to blow, trumpets begin to sound. Joshua commanded the children to shout, and the wall come tumbling down. Joshua made the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. Yes, this is the truth. These are not fabricated stories, cunningly devised stories, but this is the truth. And we see when we receive the faith of the word of the Lord that Satan will be quenched. Yeah, he will be mortified in you. Now, everybody is made out of the flesh. And everybody, you know, when they hear the word of God, their carnal minds start working and they try to figure out if it applies to them or not. Let me tell you something. The word of God applies to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's the only way, the only truth, and the only life that you can have. This is your soul, your only soul that we're talking about here. So Satan brings you these lusts that you love so much. Your beloved lusts. Now, doesn't the word destroy those things that Satan brings to you? Your precious lusts, that are against you. Don't you know every lust that you have is against you? And you know, you start thinking immediately, is that right? You know, with your carnal mind. And your carnal mind doesn't know anything. The Lord says for you to forget about thinking about whether the word of God is true or not. Just receive it as it is so that you can preserve your soul for eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So the word of God destroys those precious lusts that you have that are against you. And this is why David loved God's word so much. This made David love the word of God so dearly. Psalms 19:11 states, moreover, by these words, by them is thy servant warned. But Word of God warns you to stop thinking with your mind. It's only made out of dirt, you know. This is why God commands us to put on the mind of Christ, so that you won't go to hell, so that it'll mortify your stupid mind and all your precious lusts. Psalms 119:11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Unquote. The word warns you. He warns us, everybody. Besides all, it's other good offices that it does for you. It warns you of every danger and shows you how to escape every danger. And when the Lord sees that you love his word and don't think about it, if you're going to do it or not, but that you just receive it because it's God telling you something. And who do you think you are that you should toss it, banter it back and forth in your really stupid mind? You know, people, when they just shine God's word on like that, they keep getting worse and worse, and to the point that they become morons. Morons. And then God starts cursing them in every kind of way that there is. So there's no way, the word of God, there's no way that you can escape if you shine on the word of God. So the word of God warns you against every danger and shows you how to escape every danger. When the Lord sees you receiving his Bible, the word, well, then the comfort of the Holy Spirit teaches you all other things. Yes, there's so many times that I like to bring the one where the Lord told me, you have to be out of this building and down the road within 5 minutes or you'll die. And so I knew it was the Lord, because the Lord talks to me all the time. And so I threw everything in the van and I told everyone that was with me to do the same thing. We left in about a few minutes after that. Here comes the goon squad. The haters of God, the haters of God's word, the haters of everyone that preaches God's word. And why do they hate him? Because they have a paycheck that comes every week, or every month, or every 2 weeks, whatever. And if they don't do what the devilish government tells them to do, well, then they'll be fired or possibly even killed. So they're doing all this for a paycheck. But what these never bright boys forget is that there's a judgment and that they're going to be judged. The word of God, you know, should endear thee. It should make you love it so much. Did Ahasuerus heap such abundant honor upon Mordecai? Some of you people don't know who Mordecai is, and you don't know who Ahasuerus is. But Ahasuerus was a king. Mordecai, do you know who Mordecai was? Anybody? Yeah. Tell us.
Esther's cousin.
That's right. And Haman, a real bad guy, wanted to destroy the entire Jewish race. So this king married Mordecai's relative, Esther. All right? So Mordecai, who had but once been a means to save his life by discovering a treason plotted against his person himself. How much more should you honor and love the good word of God, which has so many times saved your soul out of your spiritual enemy's hands, and does daily give you warning how to escape the snares of sin, without which it were impossible for you to do? You cannot escape sin if you don't know the word of God. so that you find them out, or to avoid the sins. David was so affected with the wisdom and love of Abigail in the advice she gave him, whereby he was kept from shedding blood. David was going to kill Abigail's husband, but the Lord took him anyway. So in his fury, that David was furious because he didn't pay homage to him, that he took her into his bosom after, of course, her husband was dead, to be his wife as a reward of her kindness to him. And shall not the counsel of the word that the word has given you make you in love much more with the word than David was with Abigail? Huh? Mm-hmm. You think so? The word is your sweetest comforter when the poor soul is distressed with guilt and conflicts with the terrors of divine wrath for your sins. Oh, what miserable comforters there are in this world's pleasures and treasures. Has any pleasure ever comforted you? Or is there any treasure that did? No. I mean, I see so many people that have so much money. They live in big mansions and they are so depressed that they commit suicide. Amen?
Yeah.
So there's no pleasure or treasure that can satisfy your soul. How little can any creature contribute to the ease of such a one like that? No more than he who's standing upon the shore and sees his friend drowning in the sea, but doesn't have any knowledge of how to reach any help to him. So the world is drowning like that. And we can see, those of us that are preachers, teachers, evangelists, and pastors, we can see the whole world drowning around us. But thank God we have a way and a means to lead people from the danger of doing such a thing. Because if a person does that, if they commit suicide, if they kill themselves or anybody, if they murder themselves or murder anybody, they're going to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. Remember, you have one soul, and there's only one place that your soul can go that is profitable, and that's heaven. If you don't make it into heaven, you're going to not go to heaven. There's only one other place. And do you know where that place is, anybody?
No.
Where would that be?
Hell.
Hell, and then after hell?
The lake of fire.
Yeah, and what happens there?
Burn forever.
Yeah, doesn't the Bible say that you chew on your tongue for pain?
Yes.
Doesn't it say that you grind your teeth?
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, speak up then. You're supposed to preach the gospel. Amen? You're supposed to transmit to the unsaved people, the poor unsaved out in the world, what the problems are about that. Screaming your head off, chewing on your tongue for pain, and grinding your teeth and wishing there was morphine or something there in hell that could take the pain away from it, but there's no such thing there. You have to endure pain, and just when you think it's the worst, it's going to crank up even higher and hotter and more painful. And just when you think it couldn't be more painful, it does. It's horrible. There's no words that can explain it, nor are there any words that can explain how beautiful it is in the kingdom of heaven. The beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love him, his word. God is the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That love his word so much that they keep his commandments. The Lord can tell if you love him, because if you do, you keep his commandments. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a big problem there. If a man loves me, he says, you're either with me, in other words, you're with the word in doing it, and if you're not, you're against me. Why are we against the Lord if we don't love his word? Because what it is, you don't care whether souls are saved or not. You sit there like a toad, you know, just uttering a couple words, the least you can, because your words are so stinking precious, and they're not at all. I'm being facetious. Instead of expounding as much as you possibly can to make the word of God a reality in a person's soul, and not only your words, but to keep the commandments. The Lord says, I love them that love me, the word of God. All those that are against me love death. All those that hate me love death. And so the problem is that there's just so many people that think, once we're dead, it's all over with. That's just the beginning, folks. This world is just a dressing room for people to get ready for eternity. And if you're not paying any attention to get ready, if you're just floating through every day, it's like it's a humdrum thing. We're used to it, just like somebody working in a restaurant. They come in and pinch the time clock, and then they say, okay, the orders are coming, yeah. Okay, I go to the tables, and I take the orders down, and then I go and hang it to the cook and wait for the meals to be brought up under the light, to keep it warm, and then they ring the bell for you to come and get it, and it's just humdrum, you get used to it, and that's it. That isn't the way the Word of God is. You can fake any job out in the world, but you can't fake the gospel. You have to be for real. You have to really believe God. That's the only way, because that's what love is, and Jesus loved me. And you know what else? And gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Love, in other words, he loved me. He kept the commandments of the Lord so I could see that there was somebody on this earth that conquered death, hell, and the grave, sin, Satan, and the world. And if a person really loves people, well, then they keep the commandments, because if people don't see somebody keeping the commandments in this world, and on top of that they don't read the Bible to see that Jesus did, then they will not be able to keep the commandment in 1 John 5:3. And that commandment is, what is love? Quote, for this is love. This is the love that God says is love. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The person that reads the word and just starts going through and just thinking that they're real hip now and they know it all because they've heard a lot of my messages, they're nothing at all unless they keep the commandments. The Lord's brother says, I'll show you my faith by my works, that I do the works. Jesus said, a person that says he loves me, in other words, he loves me and he keeps not my commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He's the way to heaven, the truth of how to get to heaven, and he is the very life. All right, so he gave himself for me. That shows real love. What do you give yourself for? Eating, sleeping, and going to the bathroom? Is that your life? Or just going through a few papers every day, or doing a little typing, or washing dishes, or whatever you do, which is nothing in the Bible. Love flows from the denial of your self-life. The blood that Jesus shed is the source of blessing. There's no way that we can be blessed unless we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And that's why I have somewhat against the preachers that call themselves preachers, is they never or rarely say, when they're pretending to pray people through, they never say, "Wash me in your blood, Jesus," because they don't want to offend people by mentioning the blood. But there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Such a life is, in truth, one of prosperity, as it is written, quote, "Thy soul prospers." That's 3 John, verse 2. This prosperity originates not with what self has gained, not at all, but with what self has denied. If you don't deny your rotten self and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're nothing to the Lord. A soul lost is not a life lost, for the soul is lost in God. The Bible says that we must lose our, if we lose our life, then we'll gain it. Amen?
Amen.
But if we gain the life here, just do what we want and just think that everything is same old, same old. Well, you're nothing. You're nothing to the Lord. And it's just real hard for me or any other preacher to get that through the head of a person that's lost. A soul lost is not a life lost, for the soul must be lost in God. Soul life is selfish and therefore binds you from being saved. But the soul that is renounced shall abide in the boundlessness of God's life. This is true liberty. This is true prosperity. The more we love, in other words, we keep God's commandments, the more we gain. If you don't forsake your own life, if you don't turn your back on yourself and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then listen to him, what he tells you, and then when he tells you, you do it. "My sheep hear my voice, and another will they not follow." Most people follow their own lusts. Because if you do that, then you're not the Lord's sheep. You're nothing to the Lord. And you'll find that out at the judgment bar of God. Now, I've got some letters here today, okay, because somebody just wants to take part. So go ahead. Where's the first one from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay, what do they have to say?
"Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was so excited that you have answered my letter. Not only that, you have also sent me some copies of your literature and a Bible, which I received late because God had moved me from the village to the commercial city of Blantyre to preach the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I am busy distributing the literature you sent me, and I also use them in my preaching. Pastor, your literature has had a great impact in many people's lives. The literature entitled Dry Bones and Earthquake have been especially life-transforming to many people."
Right, because the literature that the Lord told me to write, one day I was writing all kinds of messages, and then the Lord told me, write the supernatural experiences that you've had. And so it's not just a message, it's the way that I got saved. That's how my soul was saved. That's why it wins so many souls. It's because, and there's so many of you people out in Radio Land that have never heard this before. And some people even around the table here start shaking back and forth because they've heard it and they're just a little bit bored. But I'm not bored with it. They're the ones that are humdrum. They got to have something new every day, but they just don't do anything new. They don't do anything, really. But it's my testimony, and it's a very supernatural one. It's similar to the Apostle Paul, so everybody should read that because it'll edify your soul. And that's what I'm all about, is love. I want to show you the love of God by telling you the things that happened to me. He's the one that told me to do it. And if everyone gets bored with it, I don't care, because the Lord told me to do it. Okay, now read the rest.
Thank you for sending those materials to me. I am still receiving responses from many people, and the literature is still in high demand. I am busy winning many souls to Christ. Many are repenting and becoming born again, and some are joining in my ministry. Pastor, would you put me on your mailing list to send me your literature, as many as you can, because the high demand for them here, and also 10 Bibles.
Anyone that would be bored with the Word of God, they will not be in heaven. A lot of people, you know, you see them in different churches, they fall asleep. Oh, we've heard the Bible before. But the Bible says that the way to life is the reproof of the Word of God. It says it like this: the reproof of the Word of God is the way of life, eternal life. All you have and I have before I was saved, and if you're not saved, all you have is mortal life, not immortal life. We must have the immortal life of God living in us, in our life, in our spirit, in order for us to have eternal life. You say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, one of these days you will, because many people have seen Jesus in visions, and, you know, we all can't be hallucinating. I'm not a drug addict, never have been. And I know when I see something from the Lord, it's just as clear as my seeing anything in this room now or anything that I've ever seen. The Lord's appeared before me, and I know that he's risen and that he's very much alive. Okay, so that's why people should receive dry bones and other pieces of literature that the Lord has given me. A lot of different supernatural things that happened to me, he wanted me to write them down so that people can know. And those that believe, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Chapter 53, Isaiah. For he shall be as a root out of a dry ground. Yes, the whole world is dry as a bone, but he is like a root that comes out of the world where there was no life whatsoever. Everybody was on their way to hell. And then it tells of all the different things that Christ would do so that our souls could be saved. He would be killed, cut off for our sins. He would be cut off that we might have life. He kept the commandments. In other words, he kept love, which again is the keeping of God's commandments. 1 John 5:3. He kept love right to the very bitter end, where he had to die on a cross so that your and my soul could be saved. Saved from what? Saved from going to hell. Okay, monkey? And you're really not a monkey, like the evolutionist people say that you are. Let everyone be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen?
Amen.
He's the only one that tells the truth. Every man is a liar, at best. But God's word is the truth, and it's been proven. It's being proven even today. All these plagues and diseases, infirmities, sicknesses, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, twisters, diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses. It's all prophecy of the last days. And it's not going to get any better, folks. It's going to get worse and worse. The more you deny the Word of God, the more God's going to pour it out on you. Because what you've done is you've taken the Word of God and made it into a democracy. You say that the Word of God doesn't mean anything. It's we the people. We the people, if we say that murder is okay, like abortions, murder, first degree murder, then it's okay. And that's why God's pouring out plagues on you folks. And then if it's all right to be same-sex marriages, well, then that's okay, because you're Democrats and your democracy, the Vatican's version of right and wrong. If the masses, the mob says that it's all right, then that's democracy. So it's all right to be married, man with man, woman with woman. And God's word, which is the Republican form of government that was based on the Bible, says it's wrong. And God's going to pour out his wrath on this world because of it. And then you say, God bless America. God's not going to bless America unless America gets on their knees and stops believing in democracy. Democracy, they've made that sound like a good word, but it's actually everything that is against God, and it comes from the Vatican. Democracy says it's all right to lie. This is why your presidents get up and lie to you like dogs. What do you mean? Well, didn't former President Clinton say he never had sex with that girl? I did not lust after that woman. Then later he says, well, they proved me wrong. I lied, and it was inappropriate that I do such a thing as that. And now he's pushing his reprobate wife to become president of the United States. If he's bad, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. What in the world would we do with a person like that? But the Democrats will vote her in because they believe that to keep God's commandments is an abomination. And they're getting worse and worse. And let me tell you something. You keep this up, and you're not going to heaven. You're going to die and go to hell. And you don't know when that's going to happen. Mr. Clinton got about 4 bypasses for all of his mischief, and he's just hanging on by a thread. The same thing with Mr. Bush. He's wearing a bulletproof vest everywhere he goes. He's got so many people, guards on him. There's planes circling everywhere he goes. Armed to the hilt. Same thing with the Pope. They know they're wrong. But that isn't going to help them at all when the breath goes out of their body, when their spirits go out to meet the Lord. And then what are they going to do? Oh, God, please. You can just see them groveling now and screaming their heads off. And then the Lord opens the view of where they're going, hell, so he can watch them, because they've murdered hundreds of millions of people. All these presidents, even FDR, who knew that the Japs were coming against Pearl Harbor. And the people in the United States, Bush, all the others that are in the administration, knew that the World Trade Centers were going to be bombed. They were active parts in it, according to all types of witnesses. They cleared out, the FBI people cleared out of that building quickly, the same thing as they did at the federal building in Oklahoma City. Don't you get it? This is democracy, where whatever the people, and they brainwash the people so that they think they're right. That people think they're absolutely right. And so now everybody has become a judge instead of the true judge, which is God. And God is the true, and he's the final judge, and he's going to judge all of us. And so you be careful. Be careful. Get yourself saved and let the Lord come in and destroy all the lusts that are in you. Our possessions are not measured by how much we receive, but by how much we give. And if you're not giving anything but false doctrine, you're telling people that they could be homosexuals, and you're forbidding people to marry. The Lord doesn't forbid people from marrying. You people in this government are giving tax write-offs for people that are homosexuals, men with men, women with women. How fruitful is the life of the Lord? It's beautiful. To forsake the soul life, however, is not as easy as a deliverance from sin. Since it is our life, the choice is ours. What is the choice ours to do? Our choice is ours to make daily, not to live by our soul, but by the life of God, His Spirit in ours, that He can live in us and keep His commandments in us. The cross needs to be borne, I mean carried, not once in a while, but faithfully every hour of every day, every minute of every day, and to be carried increasingly faithfully. We need to give our eyes, or we need to gaze upon our Lord Jesus, who, quote, endured the cross, despising the shame, unquote. Consider him, dot, 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 that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls, unquote. That's Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. All right, we have, did you finish that letter? Finish the letter.
Pastor Alamo, I have organized a fellowship center in my house, but my house is too small because many people are coming from different churches to join with us, and many are youths. Would you please send me a Bible dictionary and t-shirts and sweatshirts for people who have decided to join me in my mission of preaching the Word of God, and also materials for Bible study? I am planning to send you my fellowship center's pictures so you can see the wonders of God in my life and in the lives of many people. Many blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy working and serving in your ministry. I pray and hope to receive from you. Yours in Christ, Clarence from Limbe, Malawi, Africa.
Well, the Lord bless you as well. And everyone who loves the Lord, loves the Word because it mortifies your flesh and all your carnal lusts, including your carnal thinking. How dare you wonder if what I'm preaching here is the truth? How dare you judge in your stupid mind if God is right? You just listen closely and just wonder, well, I don't care. This is the way I feel. You're not going to go to heaven, all right? Mm-hmm. Who are you to say to God, what doest thou? Or to your maker to say, what have you brought forth? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you have another letter?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
From Los Angeles, California. Dear Pastor Tony, I went into a Christian audio talk site where I met and witnessed to a man from Michigan who owns the room. I told him all about you and our church and showed him the Alamo website. He was very impressed. He immediately started playing the audio messages and also the interviews. We played them all day. He said he loved your preaching, that you tell the truth according to the Bible, and that there are very few that preach the gospel and the truth about our government and Vatican.
Yeah, some people say I don't have any love, but you know, Jesus, again, I'm going to tell you, called sinners dogs, especially people that were saved and then fell away. Now, this is going to be repulsive to Baptists because they think, once saved, always saved. In other words, you can still sin. But the Lord says that if you sin after you've been saved, you're like a dog that's gone back to your vomit or a sow that goes back to the wallowing in the mire. He says you are of your father, the devil. The Bible says he that sins is of the devil. The soul that sins shall be what?
Shall die.
Shall die, amen? They shall be dead, right?
Amen.
And so you will not inherit, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You have to be spotless without any sin on your soul to get into heaven. Well, no one can be perfect. Well, I just read some scriptures yesterday that said that we have to be perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And that, I'll do it again. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Perfect. To all these liars that say that you cannot be perfect, it says that you may be perfect if you're a man of God or a woman of God, doesn't it?
Amen.
It says so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. That the man of God may be perfect, completely, thoroughly furnished unto all and every good work. Okay, now that's the word of God. God says you can be perfect, but these heretics that are preaching in pulpits today say that no one is perfect. Jesus was perfect, and if we're in Jesus, we're perfect also. The Bible says that there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, you're perfect according to God. Now, you may not look perfect, and I may not look perfect. A lot of people think that I look like a mafioso type guy. But there's something the Lord doesn't judge us by the way we look. He judges us by what's in our hearts. There's a lot of people that look like Billy Graham that are as haywire as a goose so far as the scriptures are concerned. They look squeaky clean, but they're not. They just, you know, got blue eyes and blonde hair, and they just could wear these some kind of buck shoes, and they wear like little white suits, or they just dress so nice. Not a hair out of place, but John the Baptist looked like a wild man, but yet he was of God. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus had no form or beauty that we should desire him, but he was God in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, I don't go by the way people look. There's so many of these people that go around and they're on drugs and everything else. You can see it. You can tell it. And they're not preaching the truth. Okay, continue on with this.
I invited others into the room to listen to the messages. We had over 15 people listening at one time. From this, the Lord led me to two more new distributors, one in India and one from West Virginia. He ordered 5,000 newsletters and is very interested in the ones that state that we must keep the commandments. He also loved the messages. Three new distributors in one day. The Lord is awesome. The room has our web address posted at the top for all to just click on and be right onto our website. Now we have an Alamo ministry online for many to come and listen to your messages and interviews, which we have been playing for the past couple of days. Today is day three, and I am sure there will be even more moves from the Lord. I also invited the Baptist woman who wrote in for Christmas help, the one on many medications. She asked me to order her the literature and messages and wants to grow closer to the Lord. She is listening to your messages in the room as well. The man from India was so thankful to find the literature printed in Hindi and Telugu. He kept thanking me over and over again for the literature and materials to help with his ministry. I told him to thank the Lord and Pastor Lamo, who with the power of the Holy Spirit wrote them in order to win souls worldwide. One of the men in the room were listening all day, and his eyes were really open to the fact that Satan's seat is the Vatican, Rome, and that our government and the many evil groups are connected directly with him.
Right, and their doctrine, such as democracy, saying that whatever the people say is truth, is truth. And that's false,
yeah.
All right? And so if people want to get into heaven, they have to believe the truth, which is the Word of God. So that's why democracy is wrong. And the republic for which we stand, the republic stood for the Word of God. Because if somebody murders somebody, they must be murdered, or the land is cursed because of the blood that's shed. There has to be that has to be avenged. And they said, well, God is the avenger. Yes, he tells us. God uses human beings. He said, if you murder somebody, you have to die. Okay? And if you, the government, if we had a government, there's not even supposed to be a government where the people are not born of the Spirit Christians. It's just absolutely wrong in the scripture. Then go ahead anyway, let's keep going.
He told me his whole family is Catholic, and he said he was going to order all the literature you have on the Catholic Church and wants to witness to his family. I also witnessed to a man in Manitoba, Canada, whose 91-year-old sister was dying of cancer and was in a coma. He told me he had gone to see her and that he felt helpless because he couldn't witness to her. I informed him that they can still hear you even though they are in a coma.
Okay, I'll shorten this up. Yes, they can hear you. If you hold their hand and say, if you're hearing what I'm saying, squeeze my hand, if a person in a coma. And then you say the sinner prayer to them and tell them, okay, read one line. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you heard that and you believe that, then squeeze my hand. Then they do, and then go on. I believe that you rose Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then squeeze my hand if you believe that. They do. They can hear in a coma, okay? And so she did that, and the person believed. And they had a big smile on their face. I'm making it because we only got about a minute left. I want to read a little bit of scriptures here. Sharon, go ahead and read from and tell them where.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
This is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, verse 1. Then what?
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Okay, so faith is the substance. Well, what does that mean? That means that if you have faith, you're going to be doing the work of God, and people are going to be able to see that you have faith. So therefore, faith is very much a substance. It's a thing that lives in people that are soul winners. Because if they see Christ living in you by faith, it's for sure that they're going to be a soul winner. They're going to see Christ in you. So they can tell that you have faith. It's a substantial fact that you have faith if you are, if you have the Word of God living in your heart, if you've tucked it away, if you've hidden it in your heart, then you know that you have faith. So you can't win a drowning soul that's out there if you don't know how to swim. But people are drowning in this world in sin, and it is the Word of God alone that can walk upon those waves and come to the soul's relief. Okay, I see my time is up right now. I always want to preach for 10 hours at a time, and I've done that. One time I've actually preached all night long to people, and I preached for hours and hours to people. But preaching doesn't do any good, and knowing what I've said today without doing something about it is absolutely no good. It will not save your soul. The thing that will save your soul to begin salvation is to say this prayer to the Lord. And notice, I'll be saying the blood of Jesus in there. Just very rarely do people say that. So say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart. I'm opening my mind and heart and soul and spirit, and I invite you into me, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, just praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of this audio tape or CD. Message number 504, without any charge whatsoever.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Don't fail to tune in tomorrow for another stepping stone into the kingdom of heaven. another powerful message. Now, you know, when we accept the Lord, we walk a lonesome walk. We walk a lonesome valley, with the exception that Jesus is living in us, and so we're never alone. And here's Fag Springman to sing for you. Jesus walked this lonesome valley.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it for himself. I must go and stand my trial. I got to stand it by myself. Oh, nobody else can stand it for me. I got to stand it by myself.